Welcome to Food Talk. I'm Marianne, and I am here with Linda Perkins.
Good morning. I've got my apron on.
And wait a minute. Now you've got your mic on. Say good morning again.
Good morning. I've got my apron on.
She does. I am a witness. She has her apron on. We're ready to cook. We're just a hot plate away from, you know, being in biz. We announced on the last Food Talk that we were going to talk about strawberries today, and indeed we are, but we have a little bit of old business, I think, to finish up, Linda.
Yes, somebody called in at the end of the show and wanted to know the difference between gelato and ice cream, or how to make gelato. So we put a recipe for gelato up there, but it seems that the major difference is that gelato is made with milk and ice cream is made with cream. Gelato has a really, really small crystal, so that's why it's so smooth. What do you know about it?
Well, when I looked it up, basically gelato is just the Italian word for ice cream.
Oh.
I discovered that right away. But the main differences appear to be one of the big ones is temperature, and so gelato is stored and served at a warmer temperature than ice cream.
Oh, I didn't know that.
What I found out is that ice cream is best served at around 10 degrees Fahrenheit, so really, really cold. And gelato, if you get it that cold, turns into something hard as a brick.
Okay.
And so it's served a little bit warmer, and the ice cream cases that it's kept in are warmer than that. And if you put ice cream in a case warmer, it just melts.
Okay.
So that's one of the big differences in terms of the way the texture works is the temperature. And it says that it has a higher proportion of milk, a lower proportion of cream, so it can have cream.
Okay.
It can have eggs or no eggs at all, and it is churned at a much slower rate, which incorporates less air, which means that you get a product that's denser than ice cream. So those are the main differences that I discover in shopping around trying to figure it out.
When I make ice cream, I'm always really careful because the USDA, and this is just going to let you know what a nerd I am, the USDA puts out this list of the biggest culprits, the 10 biggest culprits in America for food poisoning. So it's just straight across number of cases. It's not like, say 7 people in America ate caviar and 3 got food poisoning, that would still just be 3 cases. It wouldn't be on the list, even though it's almost 50%. So there were the things you would expect on there, shrimp and chicken and greens and all the things that you, potatoes, all the things you come to expect. But there are a couple that surprised me. One is oysters. And the reason is we just don't eat that many oysters just because it's straight out number of cases, you know? Like you think the amount of your life you spend eating chicken versus the amount of your life that you spend eating oysters. And the chicken wins usually for most of us 99%ers. And so I was surprised about that one. And the one I was most surprised about is ice cream. That it is one of the 10 biggest causes of food poisoning in America. And you just wouldn't think so because it's frozen. But the reason is you cook that egg custard. And most recipes tell you to cook it to 160 degrees. And I know, like, there's this thing they talk about. Is this too nerdy?
No.
Okay.
I'm interested in this because I make ice cream.
Oh, okay. There's this thing they talk about in food safety, and I forget what it's called, log something, but it's the amount of time it takes if you have a million bacteria for it to be one bacteria.
Uh-huh.
So you can be adding acid to something, you can be cooking something. So I know at 150 degrees, it takes 3 minutes for a million bacteria to become one bacteria. And at 180 degrees, it takes 1 second. Oh, I hope I'm right. It might be 3 seconds, but I think it's 1 second for a million bacteria to become one bacteria. And when they tell you to cook the ice cream, the custard with the eggs, and that's the culprit in there, to 160 degrees, that's just on the 3 minute side of that whole scale as opposed to the 1 second scale. And they always say, cook it to 160 and then quick run it through a sieve. And that just scares me. And so I know that like 175 is where stuff starts to get like curdled, you know, or where you can't, the protein gets really denatured with eggs. And so I try to get it as close as I can to 175. And rather than using that back of the spoon method, you know, where you...
Which is what I use.
Yeah. And it tells you...
Tell
that
us about the back of the spoon method.
Okay. So
for
no
people
you.
Who don't know. Okay. Well, for any kind of custard, the old fashioned lore of the kitchen is that if it coats the back of the a wooden spoon. So if you dip, you stir it with a wooden spoon and then you pull the spoon out, you turn it to the back, run your finger down the middle of the back of the spoon, and if the custard does not run into that little line you just made, then it's done. That's the theory.
And so that could be at 160 degrees. And so if you take it off the heat right then, you know, that thing about it might taste good or I might kill my family, boy, howdy, you know, door number two always wins with me. So I always use a digital thermometer just because ice cream, making ice cream is dangerous. And I don't want to make my family sick. That's why. So I am a big proponent of a couple things in the kitchen that are electronic. One is a digital thermometer and the other is a digital scale. I think they are both well worth investing in. And that was my nerdy 2 cents for the morning. So how have you been?
I've been good. What have you been cooking?
Not a lot, just because I've been working a lot. And when it's so nice like this, you just want to go outside. And, well, I guess I have been cooking, but not baking, just throwing stuff on the grill so that I can be outside and then eat outside. It's just been so glorious.
It's just springy, distractingly springy.
Yeah.
We probably ought to. I was just thinking this morning, I'm going to make salad niçoise for dinner. I think maybe we ought to do an entree salad show. Pretty soon.
Oh, that's a really good idea.
Because all of our salad greens and stuff are going to start coming mm-hmm. in and, you know, in no time. Anyway, I digress. Because we have one other point of old business that you challenged us, and I'm admitting right now on the radio that I completely forgot about it. I completely forgot about it. And anyone who knows me is not surprised if you don't remind me 20,000 times of whatever it was that you expected me to do. I'm going to forget. It's horrible getting old.
Well, I've told you how nerdy I am already this morning, but now I'll just let you know how self-absorbed I am. So a couple days...
True confessions.
I know. A couple days ago, I woke up and I had just broken out in acne. What? I mean, I know. Just how did that happen? I really thought as I, you know, went along in my life years ago that I would have acne for a little while and then I would have a period of about 50 years and then maybe I'd get some age spots. But apparently they're just going to overlap and I'm a little bitter.
And justifiably so.
Yes. So anyway, I'm thinking about this acne and I'm being all, oh, poor me, thinking about myself. And I ran into Dulcie Taylor downtown and she said, I wrote a kitchen song. And so she started singing and she went, aubergine, aubergine. Well, aubergine is the French word for eggplant. And I thought, oh, how clever, because I thought that she was singing it to the tune of, you know, that Dolly Parton song, is it Jolene?
Yeah.
I love that song. Anyway, yeah. And I thought, how clever. She got the ean syllable to coincide, and that's why she's using the French word. And she's so smart, she uses some, you know, a whole bunch of different languages in her songs. And I'm thinking this and the whole time, but I'm self-conscious of my pimples. And, and the main thought in my head, I swear to God, is, I hope that Dulcie doesn't think I take meth. So I'm not listening super good. Because I don't want that all over town.
Oh, no.
So that's what I'm really thinking. And I'm not paying super close attention. So I think that she's singing that to the tune of Jolene. But I'm wrong. So she keeps singing, Aubergine, aubergine, I only want to eat my eggplant in the purple rain. And I'm like, oh my gosh, how brilliant. And I didn't even get it at the beginning. So she wrote by far the best kitchen song. I only came up with, I'm baking, I'm baking, I'm baking, 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 I'm baking, I'm baking, I'm baking, 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 which is kind of an all-purpose action verb song.
You, yeah, that's right. You just drop in the verb of choice. I'm grilling.
I know.
I'm roasting.
Shopping. Anything, anything.
Well, you know, I mean, I'm thrilled that we got a question.
Don't look at my face.
Thank God we're on the radio.
I know,
that's
I know,
all I can say.
I know.
I do want to remind folks that if you have a food question of any kind that you would like us to address in our questionably our inept way, we would be more than happy to do a little tiny bit of research and talk about it on the next show. So you're always welcome to call, and you can send it to us via email at northcoastfoodweb.org. There's a place for you to send an email to us. So we're really happy that people have questions. And I was very happy about the gelato ice cream question because, quite frankly, I didn't know the difference.
Yeah, I thought it was all milk, but I didn't know the temperature thing. And that makes sense why it's so creamy and they scoop it out and it comes out so easily. That totally makes sense. Yeah. But it just doesn't melt. Whereas if you did that with ice cream, it would melt. Totally makes sense.
There you go. So the other thing is strawberries, and we decided to talk about them because although Oregon berries is too early, although I bet they're going to be a little early this year because we had another mild winter and we're having this sunshine and everything, but we do have California berries available to us, and they actually taste like berries, and they actually smell like berries, and they're not winter berries anymore.
Yeah, if I'm buying berries, I always, strawberries especially, but it doesn't work with like blueberries, but strawberries, I always smell them. And if they smell like strawberries, same with nectarines and peaches, if they smell good, they'll taste good. And if you can't smell them, just don't buy them.
Yeah, just don't.
Yeah, you won't like them.
You know, I had, we have a bunch of strawberry recipes up on the North Coast Food Web website for you, but I put in a few things that work equally well for frozen or fresh berries. So for anyone who has some leftover berries that they froze from last season and they're going to clean out their freezer and get ready for the new batch. I mean, there are certain things like strawberry sauce and strawberry syrup and that kind of thing that it's just peachy to use.
With peaches?
Ooh, strawberry peach.
The word peachy.
It works great with frozen berries.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I was thinking back, and I didn't have, you know, of course, we don't have things like the hoods and all of our local berries. And those berries I was talking about a month ago that I like so much are called shucksan, S-H-U-K-S-A-N. To me, they taste like hoods, and I love the hoods. The reason I like the shucksan better, they're harder to find. You have to ask a berry guy if he's going to get them and then be there when he says. But the reason I like them is they freeze so well, they don't turn to mush, they're still a berry.
Ah.
And so I like that for some things. Anyway, I do really like them. But it's like a molecule difference from the hoods. The hoods. That sounds so street. my cred. Anyway, I was thinking about berries, and I didn't have them to taste in front of me, but I was thinking back in my gray, spongy brain. And you know how like when you eat different kinds of blackberries, they all taste different from each other?
Yes.
But to me, and do you think this is right? Because there's a 60% chance it's wrong. Do you think with strawberries, it's just they taste more strawberry or less strawberry?
Absolutely.
Okay, so it's not like a difference horizontally, it's
no.
Like a vertical thing.
That's what I think. And they're either really dead ripe or they're not. But I think it's a texture thing and levels of strawberry-ness as opposed to being able to tell that it's a wild blackberry or a marionberry or something
so
like that.
So the hoods and the shucksans too, the thing is they just have so much strawberry per square inch.
That's true. And they are usually just about a square inch. So
yes.
They're not like those big melon-sized berries.
Yes.
It's so true.
I'm on my fifth bite.
I know. That's crazy. Well, so tell me one of your favorite things to do with strawberries.
Oh, just shove them into my face. And that's usually what happens to them. You know, it's the first really awesome thing that we get. in the spring. But I think if I'm going to do something with strawberries, I will make jam. But I really like stuff with fresh strawberries. The thing I do the most is a fresh strawberry tart. So I put the different parts of that up online. You make a crust that's just kind of like a sugar cookie. And you don't have to roll it out. That part is kind of hard. You just mush it into your tart pan. And there's no difference in the quality of the crust if you mush it in or if you roll it out and put it in. So you don't have to do that work. So you make a crust and you bake it. And you can, you know, put a bunch of pie weights in there, and that's what I do if I want it to look nice. But if I don't, I just stick it in the oven, and the sides shrink down a little bit, and I don't care. So you can do it either way. And then you make a custard, a pastry cream, and that's just really good. It's very, like, vanilla-flavored. It's delicious, and it's delicious with a lot of things.
So, yeah, and that's another deal with cooking the custard kind of thing that we were talking about with ice cream, where you need to be really careful.
Well, in that one, you get hotter because you kind of want it to get all curdly, you know. You don't want it to be liquid anymore. And so that one, I'm not so worried about killing my family because we're closer up to that. If I remember right, oh, such a spongy brain, you get it between 175 and 180 because you want it to kind of get all thick and
custardy,
exactly, not liquid, like you still want the ice cream stuff. So if I make custard, I'll usually make a pretty big batch because it lasts a while. And then I like, and this is just me personally, I like that combination of whipped cream and custard. So when I make whipped cream that I'm going to put in a custard, like I'm going to fold it into the custard to make it lighter and fluffier, I'll make a stabilized whipped cream. And that's a good thing to know how to make because generally if we're going to have a fruit dessert, or something cold, it's in the summer and here we have sun, and if you're going to put it outside and if you use a can of whipped cream, it's just going to, you know, melt immediately. And this is stabilized whipped cream. It's that whipped cream that you can keep at room temperature, you know, out for a couple hours and it won't melt to water. So what you do is you whip some whipped cream, a little bit of sugar, a little bit of vanilla, and just till it starts to get thick. And then you, in a microwave, that's how I do it. I put a certain amount, and it's on the website, of gelatin. It's like a teaspoon or half a teaspoon. I can't remember, just depending on how much you're going to make. And then in just a little bit of water, like maybe a tablespoon, and follow the directions on the recipe. And then you heat it up until it dissolves. And then what you want, and this part is important, when you're pouring it into the mixer and the mixer's going with the whisk, you want the gelatin to go in slowly, and you want it to still be warm. And there's something about it being warm that it just doesn't all clump up into glop and whipped cream. So you just slowly pour it in warm and it whips around. And then once that gelatin is in there, whip it till it gets close to stiff peaks. But what I do is I take it off the mixer, and I do the end by hand because there's something about that gelatin being in there that it just makes it go to butter a lot faster. So you're like whipping it around and it's pretty close. You blink and then, you've got curds. And so I like to have more control. So that's what I do. But if you pay close attention and you don't get distracted by your dogs, say like yesterday, playing tug a snake on the deck.
Oh my gosh.
I just left them outside and I went to work out the front door. And when I got home, the snake was gone. And that made this morning really interesting.
Oh. But
poor snake. He was only partially slayed.
Oh.
So, but anyway, it's just a good thing to know. And what I do is I just, about half and half, I fold some cream into some pastry cream, and then I just glop it into the pie crust, smooth it out, arrange strawberries on the top, and then I usually put some kind of a glaze. It just makes it taste a little better, and it makes it a little prettier, and it makes it keep a little longer. And I love apricot with strawberries.
Mm-hmm.
Do you put a glaze on your fruit pies?
I like it just because everything's so shiny and perfect looking.
Yeah.
That's it. And you could use apricot. You could, I mean...
Yeah, everything
you can
but roast
yourself.
Beef. Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, and then when I have, and I said I make a decent-sized batch of that custard because then, you know, you can just take a store-bought graham cracker crust or make one real quick, whatever you want to do, glop in some of that custard, cut up some bananas, and you've got banana cream pie. Voila, and you've got the whipped cream to put on top. You can just mix some coconut into that custard, mix in a little whipped cream, put some whipped cream on top. Voila, you have a coconut cream pie. It's really, really versatile. And you can even, I really like how that kind of stuff looks layered in little you know, half pint mason jars, the mm-hmm. tuna jars that are squat. Just, you know, put some graham cracker crumbs in the bottom, stick some bananas in there, stick some custard whipped cream, ba-ding! So just little tiny parfait-looking things. That pastry cream is really versatile, I think.
Oh, it's so good. I could just eat a bowl of it with nothing. Seriously, it's so good. I want to take a sec to remind everybody that you're listening to Coast Community Radio, KMUN, Astoria, KTCB, Tillamook, online at coastradio.org, and in your pocket wherever you go on your mobile device using the TuneIn app. This is Food Talk. I'm Marianne. Linda is here. We're talking about strawberries.
What are you doing with strawberries?
Well, you know, I don't like to mess with them too much either.
Just shove them in your face?
Although I do really like freezer jam. I mean, strawberry freezer jam, so good. Yeah. But with the Oregon berries, I hardly ever have enough to do that sort of thing with because I eat half of them in the car on the way home from the berry stand.
Anyway. What do you think the advantage of freezer jam is over, you know, cooked jam.
It just tastes fresher to me. I mean, it hasn't been cooked, right? Okay. So I think that's it. And it retains that really bright color.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I like it. I like both kinds of jam. And I got to say that Teresa Retzloff, who has a farm and also does In Season here on Coast Community Radio, makes a strawberry basil jam, a cooked jam that is one of the best things I've ever had. Ooh, it's really good. Anyway, so I tend to do things with strawberries that don't change them too terribly much. And one of the things that I like, because I think everybody has either tried or heard of strawberries in balsamic, you know, balsamic vinegar. But I put a little recipe up online that doesn't even really need a recipe. Actually, it's just strawberries in white wine. And it's really summery. And it's just a couple of pints of fresh berries that you take the hulls out of. And if they're small, like the hoods, you could just leave them or you could cut them in quarters. You can make them be look however you like them to look. And then there, it's just a cup of really dry white wine. You don't want to use like an oaky Chardonnay on this. Use like a Pinot Gris or something like that. Something really crisp that you would drink on a hot summer day. One or two tablespoons of sugar, depending on how sweet your berries are. And then the zest, if you have a lemon, just the zest half of it into a fine zest, and the other half cut into, like, this makes about four servings, so I would cut it into four thin strips of the zest so that you actually have something to garnish with. And then you just mix everything together and put it in the refrigerator for at least an hour or until after dinner.
How much wine was it?
It's a cup.
Okay. I was hoping it was like three bottles.
It's that one cup for the berries and the rest for us.
It was like an adult strawberry lemonade.
Yeah, right. It's not a beverage. It's a dessert. But, you know, if you did this in layered with like some fabulous whipped cream or something in a like a champagne flute, it would be elegant dessert. And it's nothing. I mean, it takes no effort at all. There's no cooking. It's just putting everything in a bowl and letting it macerate for a little
while. It sounds really good.
It's really refreshing and lovely. Yeah. And you can put a little curly piece of that lemon peel on top, and it's yum. Anyway.
You know how you were talking about making jam? When I make jam, I like that sure gel, you know, instead of, what's that one that has like three letters, like MDC?
Oh, yeah,
something?
Yeah. What is that? I don't know.
I can never remember the letters. I wish it was a word.
And why? Why?
Just because what you said, with the sure gel, you cook the berries half as long as you do with the other one. And you get more jam per box of pectin with that other one. But for me, just cooking the berries half the time, it's worth it using the sure gel. And so that's the one I like for that, just for that same reason. They're still more berry flavored as opposed to cooked berry flavored.
Right, exactly. Things that we could use. What do you do for a strawberry sauce? Like if you had frozen berries you wanted to use up, how would you turn them into a sauce?
So I would cook them. And this is weird, but I put a little bit of butter in there because I don't want to lose weight.
And who does,
really?
That was
a little joke. I have acne. Anyway. No, I put a little butter in there to make it shiny, and I really like the flavor of honey, so I use honey instead of sugar, and then I just cook it up till it's thick.
Okay, and then you're not processing it or pureeing it or anything, you're just...
No, because usually I think that the berries in the stirring, they just get a little battered enough, you know? And,
yeah.
And pretty much in everything, I like chunks in it. Like, I don't make a smooth gravy. I make a rustic one with a bunch of chunks in it. Not like lumps, but, you know, chunks of shallots, chunks of celery. I like most things to be more rustic. I just do.
Uh-huh.
And then it's just a little more interesting, you know, bite of fruit. It's not just a straight slime.
Yeah. Yeah,
I shouldn't
yeah.
feel that way about sauces, but I do.
No, I think, and strawberry sauce is so universally useful.
Yeah.
I mean, you can stir it into your oatmeal. You can put it on ice cream. You can top anything with a drizzle of it is lovely. The lemon gelato recipe would be great with a little drizzle of strawberry sauce.
That's the last thing. Lemon. I always put a little lemon in a berry sauce. So lemon, honey, a little bit of butter, and then the fruit.
Okay.
Cookie.
All right. And if you were wanting to make strawberry syrup,
How do you make that?
Well,
I know you have a good recipe.
It's really basically the same as sauce, except for with the addition of, like, if you had a couple of pints of strawberries and you put in some sugar or honey to your taste,
mm-hmm.
and you can taste it right then. I would say if you were going to use sugar, it's really nice to either sift the sugar or use the baker sugar, you know, the really fine granulated sugar.
Do you mean super fine, or do you mean confectioners?
I mean super fine sugar.
Okay.
Yeah, not powdered sugar.
Yeah.
And then sweeten it to your taste with whatever sweetener you prefer. And then I put two or three tablespoons of orange juice in there.
Ooh, numb.
And a little tiny bit of vanilla, like a tiny bit of vanilla, like maybe a quarter teaspoon, just a little. It adds more like unctuous thing rather than a real vanilla... intense vanilla thing. And then if you wanted to get really fancy schmancy, you could throw in a teaspoon or two of an orange liqueur, but you don't have to. And you're going to actually cook this in a saucepan, so it's not like you're going to have any booze left, but there is something about a little Cointreau or something adds another nuance to it if you're into that. So you just put it in a saucepan, you heat it over medium heat, and just cook it until the strawberries start to break down a little bit. And if they've been frozen, that doesn't take very long because they're already kind of soft. And then you just turn the heat way down to simmer, and you just stir it frequently until it gets to be the consistency that you want your syrup to be. And then you can use that on everything you could use strawberry sauce on, and you can also use it in, like, mixed drinks.
Ooh.
And that kind of thing, because it's really syrupy. You can strain it if you're really, like, wanting a...
I like my martinis rustic.
There you go.
Strawberry martini.
Yeah, right. A strawberry martini. Ooh.
One thing that I've always admired about you is, like, I think about myself as a cook, and then cooks I admire, like Andy down at Street 14.
Oh, my gosh.
Or, yeah, you know, Chris at Baked Alaska, people like that. And there's a lot of differences between us, but one that really sticks out to me when I taste something that I really like that they make is finesse. Just that ability to say, like, just how you said, oh, no, just like a quarter teaspoon. Usually my cooking method is glug glug of this and glug 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 of that.
Oh,
and glug,
yeah.
Glug, glug.
Oh, yeah.
And so just that's something I've always admired about you, is that you have this finesse that allows you to make, like, really subtle and beautiful things. And that's something I'm not envious of it, but I really admire it. Like, I don't have a bad feeling about it, but I really, really admire it, and I don't have it yet.
I'm not sure I have it either. I think the way that I dream stuff up in my head turns out to be quite the different situation once it hits a plate. Absolutely. But, you know, we just keep at it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
We just keep at it. And every once in a while, the thing about cooking all the time is that I'm not scientific, so I don't write things down. So if something comes out extra perfect, I probably can't recreate it totally. And if something comes out really horrible, it probably won't happen that way again. So yeah. Two sides of the same coin. We're coming up on just about the top of the hour. I'm wondering what we want to talk about next time. So if people have questions, they could let us know. What do you think?
I haven't thought about it. Have you?
Well, I was thinking earlier before we went on air, days like this make me not want to put something in the oven and have it be in there forever, even though my new food column is about pot roast, but I wrote it on a cold night. Never mind. Anyway, I was saying I feel like I'm going to, I want to make a Louis or a salade niçoise or something for dinner. And maybe we should, now that our salad greens and everything are starting to come on, maybe we should talk about dinner salads or entree salads.
Where... I think that's a great idea.
Okay. So if you have an idea or a question about that, get to us either. I think the best way is northcoastfoodweb.org.
Yes. And if you see me on the street, don't look at my face.
Whatever you do, don't look her in the eye. Linda Perkins, thank you so much. It's always fun talking to you. Come.